Torah of Awakening Daily Practice with Brian Yosef Schachter Brooks.
Lesson 2.
In this lesson, we will begin to learn the core of Jewish sacred chant, called the Shema, an invitation into awareness of the unity of all being. 1. Upon arising, Mode Ani. As we chant these words, bring attention to your breathing, feeling the aliveness within your body and the flow of your breath, in and out. Two, hand washing. Take the vessel of water with your right hand, and then pass it to your left hand. Pour some water over your right hand. Then pass the vessel to your right hand and pour some water over your left hand. Pass back to your left hand and repeat the process two more times, so that each hand is washed three times. Bring your awareness to your movements and to the feeling of the water, holding the intention of cleansing yourself inwardly from the influence of any negative energies. You can think of each one as you pour, washing away anger, craving, anxiety, fear, depression, or anything else you would like to cleanse from yourself. When you are finished, take a moment and raise your hands, inwardly dedicating your actions to embody sacred qualities such as love, awareness, service, and any other qualities you would like to bring into your life at this time. Three, tzitzit. Hold the tallit in readiness, having in mind the intention that this garment represents your commitment to this practice and the intention that you are opening yourself to do your best wherever you are at whatever level of knowledge, fluency, and skill, knowing that wherever you are at is perfect as it is. Have in mind to come to this practice as you are, not grasping after results, but offering yourself in loving service to this practice in this moment. Then, put on the garment and feel yourself embraced by this intention. 6. Shema. Hear. There is only one reality. How can it be otherwise? People tend to think of God as a being that either exists or doesn't, that you either believe in or you don't. But the most sacred of the divine names tells a different story. It contains four letters, Yud, He, then Vav, followed by He. These letters come from the verb to be in Hebrew, so the inner meaning of the divine name is actually existence, being, or reality. This name is considered so sacred that traditionally it is forbidden to pronounce the name, or even to pronounce the letters consecutively. This also hints at its inner meaning. Reality cannot be grasped by words or ideas, and yet, here it is. Seen in this way, God does not really exist in the ordinary sense. God is existence. God is reality. God is the whole. When we understand the meaning of God in this way, the issue of belief is not really relevant, because God is simply that which is. That which is, of course, does not require any belief. It just is whatever it is. This is also hinted at by another divine name, the one that God reveals to Moses at the burning bush, Ehye Asher Ehye. The literal meaning of this name is, I will be what I will be. Existence, or being, is also the source of all becoming. In fact, they cannot be separated. The nature of reality is being, and being expresses itself in constant change. One may ask, then, why use the word God at all? Why not just say existence? Why confuse the issue with a word that implies belief in some kind of divine person? One answer is that God is a relational word. When we call someone a friend, mother, or daughter, we are describing a relationship. A person is a friend or a mother only in relation to another person. It is the same with God. Ordinarily, the mind tends to make its own ideas into gods. That is, we give supreme importance to our own thoughts, mistaking our ideas about reality for reality itself. We elevate an image of the truth above the truth. We do this not because we are idolatrous sinners, but because that's the way the mind works. The main function of the mind is to navigate the next moment. Without the mind's constant envisioning of the future through its memories of the past, we would not know what to do or even remember how to speak. Without past and future, we could not think at all. Thought and time are interdependent and inseparable. Without thought, we would not be able to function, and therefore we could not survive without a full-time caregiver. The price we pay for the constant movement of the mind, however, is that the present moment becomes insignificant. The past and future, which really means our own thoughts about the past and future, become our ultimate concern. But important as thoughts are, their content is not real. It is only an image of the real. It is the map, not the territory. It is the menu, not the food. Reality is always already here. Only the present moment actually exists. But to enter the present, we must cease giving so much importance to the activity of thought. When the mind quiets down enough, you can begin to see reality in a completely new way. Or rather, to be more precise, you may see reality for the first time, without the distorting lens of thought and ego. Can you remember a time when you were so filled with awe that the present moment filled you entirely? Perhaps it was a moment of witnessing something awesome in nature, or perhaps it was being in the presence of someone for whom you had great respect or love. In such moments, there is a sense of arrival, a sense of fulfillment, a sense of, this is it. The dominance of time and thought temporarily subsides, and you enter the fullness of the present. And yet, it is always this moment in which we encounter the real, not just the occasional extraordinary moments. This, then, is the reason for using the word God. By calling reality God, We use the power of the mind against itself. Ordinarily, we worship images. We imagine our goal to be in the future, or we wish for a different past. Sometimes we even go to war with the present, complaining and lamenting this moment in which we find ourselves. But in saying God, we instead bow to what is, opening to reality as a living presence around us and within us. Remembering that God is this, now, the ordinary reveals the extraordinary. The door to this realization is always open. As often as possible, remember, open your senses wide. Take in everything as it is and relax your stream of thought. Let the dream of the mind and imagination subside and be awake to existence and all its mystery. With practice, you will come to experience for yourself what might be described as an unbroken unity to everything. You will then know for yourself the inner meaning of the words of the Shema, which say that God is one. The Shema is a piece of text from the Torah that is often translated, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." This line is taken to be the credo of Judaism, declaring the monotheistic tenet of one God. If we look at the words more deeply, however, we can begin to see how this short verse is not merely an intellectual idea or belief, but is actually an invitation to awaken and experience this reality for yourself. First is the word Shema, listen or hear. In a sense, this is the essence of being awake. When we deeply listen, not just with our ears, but with all of our senses, becoming attentive to the fullness of this moment, we are gently drawn out of the sheath of ego. The mind and its whole imaginary world with all its agendas, judgments, and desires subside as we become receptive to the unfolding present. In this way, the word Shema opens the invitation, calling us out of separateness and into the reality it then goes on to describe. The second word, Yisrael, Israel, is actually composed of two words. The first is Yishar, which means straight or upright. The second word is El, which is the generic word for God. Together, they mean something like straight to God. A person of Yisrael, then, is someone who sees straight through the screen of the mind to the underlying godliness of everything. Another way of seeing this word connects it not with straight but with wrestle. Yisrael is then one who wrestles with God, that is, a seeker. When these two meanings are put together, we have the totality of the spiritual path. First, one is like a seeker. A seeker is driven by the desire to find God, truth, peace, or whatever. The seeker is wrestling, trying to find something externally. Eventually, the seeker comes to see that God can't be found by seeking, because seeking comes from the mind that imagines the ultimate to be out there somewhere, and keeps one from noticing that God is always this, right here. But to notice this, all the wrestling must be completely abandoned. That is, the wrestling of the mind must cease. Then one can see straight to God, as the first meaning of Yisrael indicates. The third word is the four-letter name described at the beginning and can be translated as being or reality. We could also call it Hashem, which means the name. Traditionally, when one prays with the four-letter name, one pronounces it Adonai, which comes from a word that means my Lord. The fourth word, Eloheinu, means our God. Together, these two words mean reality is our God. It is pointing us toward the fact that God is not some distant separate entity or some idol of the imagination. This is God, right here, right now. Don't imagine God to be elsewhere. The only thing that prevents us from intimacy with God in this moment is the belief that God is separate. This is the ego giving preference to its imaginary reality over the real reality. Or, we believe that there is no God, which is usually the ego trying to maintain its superiority and attempt to control things. But to realize that reality is our God, requires that we drop all that and open ourselves to the truth that is always already here. We can't control reality. Is there a feeling within you of resistance, of the need to control? Even those feelings spring from reality. Know that everything emerges from and returns to the same place. Let your heart bow to that place. The fifth and sixth words are Adonai Echad, being is one. When we open to reality and become present, there is a tendency to feel that there is me and there is reality, or there is me and there is the world, or there is me and there is the present. The mind always wants to make it into two. These last two words remind us to let go even of that. Don't hold on to the idea of yourself as separate. There is just God, and everything is part of it, even you. In this way, there is not a me being present. There is just presence. Chanting the Shema. One of the common practices for chanting the Shema is to cover your eyes with your right hand. The idea is to create a greater focus by blocking out visual distractions. Another powerful practice is to actually imagine the six words of the Shema projected as light in the six directions. Let's do this now. We're going to begin by taking a slow, deep breath. And as we breathe in, imagine that your body becomes filled with light. As you exhale, we'll intone the word Shema long and slow, imagining the light in your body projected upwards at the top of your head, infinitely upwards into space. So let's do it now, breathing in, filling the body with light, and projecting Shema upwards. Shema. Breathing in again, filling the body with light, projecting Yisrael downwards. Breathing in, filling with light. Breathing out, Adonai, projecting forwards. Adonai. Breathing in, filling with light, projecting Eloheinu backwards. Eloheinu. Breathing in, filling with light, projecting Adonai to the right. Adonai. Breathing in, filling with light, projecting Echad to the left. Echad. Listen, Israel. Our divinity is being itself, the oneness of all being. We're now going to imagine the light returning from the six directions in the reverse order, while we chant Baruch Shem Kavod Machuto Le'olam Va'ed, blessed is the name of its radiant kingdom for all eternity. So bringing in the light from the left, Baruch from the right, Shem from behind, Kavod from the front, Malchuto from below, Le'olam from above, Va'ed. Meditation. Feeling the space around you. Feeling the opening of space within. open and connecting through the six directions. Giving your attention to your inner space, noticing, opening, and feeling any feelings or emotions that arise within. Letting your awareness sink down into your body. Being intimate with the flow of your breath. Relaxing into the thought that just to feel your breathing, just to dwell with the in-breath and the out-breath is enough. And so noticing any tendency within to want to seek beyond this moment. Seek beyond the awareness of your breathing and your senses, your body. Just letting that relax. Again, not trying to get rid of it. Because, after all, it too is part of the present moment if it's there. So there's an acceptance of it, but also a relaxing. An allowing and a letting go. And just sitting in silence for the remaining time. Thank you for devoting your time. May you be blessed to bring your awareness and openness to each moment of this day. Until tomorrow, be well.